God never uses sickness as a means of punishment to get you to obey Him. Because love does not involve fear, punishment, or torment. Now, if we thought for 1 minute that God was going to punish us, or let's put it in another verbiage that we may have heard before. If God gave you the authority and you let that authority down by sinning, you gave your authority to the devil, now the devil has right to you. You ever heard that kind of theology? I have. Well, that's because God gave us the authority in the garden. We put that authority, you need to take that authority back up and kick the devil's butt with it. And if you don't do it right and have enough faith, then the sickness will just get you. It puts the duty on you. It puts the obligation on you. It puts the responsibility on you to stop the devil. Then your little heart kid inside of you says, but if God loves me, why doesn't He protect me? If God loves me, why does He heal some and not others? See, we don't realize we have those questions inside of us. So sickness is never used to punish you. And the devil's not necessarily getting you. It could be a spirit of infirmity. It could be. But it may not be. And unless God tells me it is, I'm going to assume that I know a nothing and wait for God to tell me what it is. Most of the time when I see sickness, it is not the devil. Most of the time when I see sickness, it is a lie that is embraced by the person about God that they hold as a truth. Now, if you want to call the lie the devil, that makes sense. Like, it's the fruit of you having believed what you heard, and the devil is the father of all lies. So in that way, I can see it. But simply, if that was the fact, then we could just cast out a devil and that person would be healed every single time. Not sometimes. Every time. Okay? So Jesus, remember when the little boy was blind and they said, whose fault was this? And he said, neither. It was for the glory of God. You ever thought that sounded mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. I judged God right there on the spot. Now, I'm sure there's somebody listening who's never judged God. Now, I'm being silly, but they just don't know they judged God. But that's what that means, to say, gosh, that's mean. And I went to God and I said, God, that's mean. Why would you let... The Bible says in Job, who makes eyes to see and who makes the blind? I've had people get mad at me. God didn't make anybody blind. Well, then go cut that out your Bible. Just go rip it out. You think the devil snuck in the womb? Like while God's making a toe? And he just like disconnected the optic nerve? And said, ha ha, I got you one on God. No, that's not what happens. So what I'm about to say, I don't propose to be the entire truth. I propose to be the truth that I'm aware of at the moment. Because God is constantly unveiling and revealing more and more truth as we mature and are able, just like I gave more truth to my son as he was able to learn about where babies come from. Okay? Once he learned where they come from, he didn't know about sexual pleasure and lovemaking. He just knew where babies come from. He found out we wouldn't have any more babies. He was happy. We didn't have to do that again. I didn't tell him the rest of the story. Right? So I'm not proposing that God's told me the whole story. I'm just saying that what I do know about sickness that God has unveiled, that means glory. The knowledge, understanding, wisdom, that's glory. That means to shine a light on so you can understand. So what Jesus was saying is, this sickness, it reveals truth. It's not God getting the credit. God would have to be really mean to make a baby born blind so he could get credit for healing it. That doesn't make any sense when it comes to love. Okay. If I could reveal all truth and I knew all truth and I could say it perfectly and I didn't have love, I'd be a clinging brass. So my point is, I'm okay with knowing in part until God reveals. As long as love is what is being unveiled. So, what happens in our body when we are sick? One of the things that I'm aware of happens in our body is that our bodies are made in the image of God. And they cannot lie to us. They have to tell us the truth. Our bodies must reveal in the earth, my skin is earth, my bones are earth, my body's made from dust. My heart is where the kingdom of God is. Inside of me is the kingdom of God. The Bible says eternity is in the heart of a man. Jesus said the kingdom of God is in you. Jesus said the kingdom of God is at hand. So this frequency that's inside of me, where my thoughts, my feelings, my opinions, my perception, all the thought process, all the emotional process, all the desire process, all of that is where the kingdom of God is. It's in me. It's in the unseen part. If I deem something to be so in the heavens, in the kingdom, it must manifest in my flesh. Psalm 19:1 says, heaven declares and earth proclaims. So guess what? If my heavens, if inside of me, believes that I am not loved and I have to cut people off and I can't communicate with them and I have to shut my heart down because I was taught not to feel, then I may manifest that in my body as my nerves dying, as my nerve endings getting hard because communication is not allowed. Well, how does your body communicate? Through nerves. Another way your body communicates is through the hypothalamus and chemicals. So that may shut down if I believe I can't have feelings and I can't communicate because something must be wrong with me if I cry. Why? Because we hear this. What's wrong with you? What's the matter with you? You better stop that or I'm going to give you a reason to cry. You go in your room and cry. Don't you let me see you cry. Toughen up. You quit that crying. What's wrong with you? What's the matter? See, that's a subliminal message that says you are not allowed to have a heart. You are not allowed to communicate from the kingdom of God. You can only communicate from your intellect, from your knowledge. The very thing that God says, don't lean unto. So we train each other. And then our bodies manifest that and we think it's the devil. We think it's the enemy. When the truth of the matter is, your body is telling you what you are living, what lies you're believing. Your body's helping you. It's screaming, ow, help, we're dying in here. Me and you, we believed all these lies and it's killing us. It's like a fire consuming us. Get me out of this lie. Where's the truth? Jesus is the truth. Can you imagine not loving Jesus? Jesus is truth. Can you imagine not liking the truth? Yeah. You can imagine not liking it, right? Yeah. You can imagine not loving the truth. Mm-hmm. But you don't equate those two, do you?
No.
Equate them. All of your truth will set you free. Truth does for you what you cannot do for yourself. I have seen truth manifest healing over and over and over and over. Now, am I against commanding the body to be healed? Absolutely not. I love it when somebody says, in the name of Jesus, I command this cancer to die, and it does. I love that. Mm-hmm. I love it when God, when somebody commands a foot to be healed or a leg to grow out or eyeballs to grow, and it happens. It's rare, but it happens. Somebody commands a devil to leave, and it does. I understand, and I believe, and I've witnessed all those things. They're not as common as I'd like them to be, but that's not the way that God has typically used my mouth to manifest healings. Mm-hmm. Typically, God uses my mouth to look at a sickness, to look at a disease, to look at an illness and say, Father, what is this? What are you showing me? What is the body saying? Well, Angel, are you saying God's teaching us through disease? No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying God's, okay, I'm going to punish you through giving you disease and now you're going to learn your lesson. No, that's what humans do. No, God created the earth to image and reflect. It's a manifestation. The garden was a manifestation of himself. All those trees came out of him. Mm-hmm. I remember I was putting cedar wood on someone's head one day, the cedar wood oil. And as I put the cedar wood on there, I said, God, why did you name this cedar wood? Like, if everything means something, what does it mean? Well, Solomon's temple was made out of cedar wood. And cedar wood, nothing could eat it. Mold couldn't eat it. Bugs couldn't eat it. It lasts forever. Like the elements don't change it. Listen to the word cedar as though it's a homonym. Cedar. to seat her, to be in quiet rest, the her, the female, the bride, for the bride to be at quiet rest. The temple is made out of quiet rest. The temple, and we go in church and say, shh, be quiet. That's how it was when we were kids, right? We couldn't talk, be quiet. Why? Because it needs to be seating her. It needs to be at quiet rest. Now, Solomon's temple was made out of cedar because God told him to. And the word Solomon means to ask. So it literally means the asking temple that remains at rest. Yeah. And cedar wood, when you put it on the head, actually decalcifies the pineal gland. Pineal gland is the gland in the brain that looks and acts like an eyeball. It's what's activated in science when they would submit a body to a hallucinogenic. Mm-hmm. That part of the body would be energized. Mm-hmm. That's where visions take place, is in the pineal gland. Now, some people are afraid of the pineal gland. They think it's called the third eye and that it's a demon. But when God was making me in my mother's womb and he was creating my thumb and my toes, the devil didn't sneak in the back door and put a pineal gland in my head. God put the pineal gland there.
So is that part of the chakra?
It's part of, yeah, it's part. And people get afraid of the word chakra because of Eastern religion.
Right.
Well, there are seven energy centers in the body. They work like a light, like a fire. When they fire up and when they actually begin to spin and move and they are healing, they actually, have you ever felt one in your body? When they do, it literally feels like surges of electricity going through your body, like vroom, 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 vroom. And I have felt them.
Mm-hmm.
I have felt them in, oh my gosh, when they happen, it's like, what is that?
Mm-hmm.
Am I falling asleep in that part of my body? What is it? It's very unusual, and no matter how much you move or do whatever, it won't go away. You know it's not something sleeping.
Yep.
And I asked God, what is this? He said, that's this part of you coming alive. It's healing.
Mm.
And I'm just like going, oh my God, yay. One time they were so on fire or so much movement or so much frequency in them that I was laying on a table receiving an anointing. This man that anointed my head put about, oh, I don't know, anywhere from $400 to $700 worth of oil on my head. My head was just completely saturated in oil. And I was going through a healing of when I was a memory where I was drowning. And in that memory, God came to me and showed me he was always with me, never left me, never forsook me. But what happened is all those, every part of my body began to spin. I don't know how else to explain it, inside of me.
Mm-hmm.
Until my hands were completely filled with so much energy, it felt like rivers flowing out of my hands. It felt like rivers flowing out of my feet, out of my belly, my back, the top of my head. My eyeballs were vibrating in my head. The table that I was laying on was vibrating. The stage that I was on is about a 40-foot stage. There were 10 people standing on it. The stage vibrated. That's how much power was going through my body. And some people go, Angel, that just sounds wicked. Well, guess what? Jesus, when he said, I am he, so much power came out of him that all the Roman soldiers fell down. And we're supposed to be as he is.
Mm-hmm.
And we're supposed to be, I mean, I couldn't stand. People had to hold me up. They pushed me up. I sat up and leaned on people. And other people came and felt the virtue come out of my body and they got healed. I can't heal anybody.
Mm-hmm.
If I could heal somebody, I'd heal the whole earth and be done with.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not more compassionate than God.
Mm-hmm.
So sickness, can it be a demon? Yes, Jesus showed us that. Can it be for the glory of God? Yes, if you understand what that means. But if you don't understand it, you'll think God's mean. It's really, most of the time that I have witnessed, it's a mirror image of whatever is inside your heart that is already broken or at dis-ease. It's not at peace. It's not seated. The word cedar, to seat her, to be at peace, means to be in question, to not have all your answers and yet be at peace.
Mm-hmm.
That's the picture of the bride. That's what that is. So God wants us to all feel seated, rested. He wants us to enter into the Sabbath. Enter into the temple on the Sabbath. What does that mean? Enter into the heart where you're at perfect rest, even though you have a question. And and it's a promise, because the number seven means promise. It actually means the daughter of oath, the promised bride. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. We don't understand these things because we look at the Word of God at face value, and we listen through only the English verbiage. We don't listen to the Word of God through letters, pictures, numbers, and phonics, and frequency. If you would listen that way, and if you don't know how, ask God to teach you. God taught me. People say, what book did you read? I said, Google.
Google.
I read Google. Well, you can't believe everything on the internet. Well, I know that.
Yeah.
But I Googled one night so much, it was about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, that I broke Google. It wouldn't answer me anymore. It made me put in a code. It said, I am not a robot. And I had to click I'm not a robot and put in whatever. I had to do 2 or 3 little things to prove I wasn't a robot. Because I had Googled so much. Yeah.
They must have some kind of security that doesn't want
I guess. That's what happened. So this is not man taught, what I'm teaching you. You can tell it. Mm-hmm. You can tell that what I'm teaching you, and if I've never heard it out of my mouth, that doesn't mean that it hasn't been spoken before. Mm-hmm. It just hadn't been spoken in my ears. Mm-hmm. God's always going to have two or more witnesses. Mm-hmm. And if man doesn't cry out with this knowledge, this information, the earth will. The rocks will. And I've seen that happen too. Mm-hmm. I've taught before. Nancy's witnessed this. I said, whatever I'm telling you, if there is not another witness out there right now mm-hmm. saying this, then the earth's going to quake. Or the heavens are going to declare it. Or it's going to end up on your front page news. You watch what I'm telling you. If there's not another man telling this, the earth, the rocks will cry out with me. Why? Because God will testify of His word, but not mine. Mm-hmm. And I've taken the people that I've told that to multiple times. And this is not say I'm patting Angela on the back. I'm trying to say that if I'm wrong, I want to know it. Mm-hmm. I want God to not testify if it's me.
Right.
Why? Because we know in part, we see in part. And so I'm fully persuaded when I hear God. Do you know that full persuasion means faith? We get the word faith and hope mixed up. I hope this is God. Oh man, I miss God. You can't miss an omnipotent, omnipresent person. If you make your bed in hell, I am there. I can't miss God. If I think God said, give me a fish, and I get a fish and hand it to him. He said, oh, Angela, your hearing's so silly. I said, gold coin. Here, honey, let me take care of that. He reaches in the fish's mouth, gets the gold coin out, and I can't mess God up. See, that's no fear. Do you know people are offended at that? When I tell them I can't be late, there's no such thing as lack, and I can't mess God, they get offended. I say, look, my best is as filthy rags. I make plans and God fixes them. And nothing formed against me will prosper, and everything is already good. I got mad at God when he was telling me those things. I would say, show me in the word. As if God didn't know his word. That's like my little son going, nah, I didn't come from that place. Mama, I didn't come out of your butt. So he told me. Like that giraffe. I saw that giraffe be born. She came right out the butt and fell on the ground 6 feet. I didn't come from there. I said, no, you didn't come from a giraffe's butt. That's right. You didn't. But this is the day where you did come from.
Mama, that's terrible. You lied to me.
Right? That's how I was with God. I was this whiny little argumentative, presumptuous, full of pride, think I knew something child that God began to reveal stuff to. And I would study my Bible. I'm telling you, there were times I'd be in the Word from 8 o'clock in the morning to 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. Because by God, God had to show me something because I was freaking out. My husband thought I was losing my mind. I told him I did.
Yeah.
It didn't work. And I said, yours don't work either. You should lose yours. Right? That's why God said, don't lean unto it. Because our logic, our reasoning, and our intellect get in the way. It gets in the way. Cut it off. Cut your head off. Why? Because Jesus is supposed to be your head. To lean unto your own understanding is to self-worship. That's what it means.